Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's 6 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started with John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time Pro Bowler. And John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least three times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs' inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I feel like I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome to a Monday, March the 8th. A lot to chew on from an all-star weekend in Atlanta. And welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh. Hugh Douglas, what is up?
Grand Rising, John Fricke. Grand Rising, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? For all y'all folks that are here from out of town, safe trip home. That's all I got to say. Safe trip home. There's a lot of people here this weekend. A lot of people.
I guess it must have been, for all the, chatter from the mayor's office and from the commissioner's office, it must have been because I didn't see, there was no stories I saw. I was going to ask if anybody knew how it went, because.
I mean, some things popped off this weekend. It was a few things, I don't even know how to respond to that, John. But yeah, some things happened this weekend.
I'm just wondering, like, the size of the crowds. There were no helicopter shots talking about, the COVID police are out or this is going on, or
there was a lot of people out this weekend. There's a lot of people. It was a lot of people out this weekend.
Okay.
Probably not in the venues that you probably frequent, but yeah, it was a lot of people out this weekend.
Yeah, I don't frequent any venues. Unless it's the Kroger or something.
Yeah, they probably were not. It was some folks probably at the Kroger, but not, not like that, yeah.
Yeah, not like that. The only venue I've been frequenting is, Shea Tabby, that's it. That's about it
for me. That's the only venue. You just don't know how that sounded, what you just said, John. But okay. Boy, John, you're a special kind of guy, I tell you.
Yeah, I just hang it loose, Having to watch Harry and Meghan, thank God, whatever. So what did you make of the All-Star day, I guess it was? I was going to say weekend.
I think I liked the only thing that I would probably say that I had issue with, if I could actually say that was an issue, was the slam dunk contest format. It was only three individuals, and it felt like it was kind of rushed. A little bit, I guess it was, but outside of that, I think they did a pretty good job. I'm talking to Big Tig this morning, talking about the way that they put everything on. That was pretty amazing, because for a minute, I didn't even know that was State Farm Arena. The way they set everything up and had it, all the glitz and glamour, it was pretty cool to see. It was pretty cool to see all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was well. I mean, the night was well done. I mean, the game is what the game is. I mean, people were complaining. I saw some tweets on the, you know, this is terrible. You know, there's no defense. I'm like, it's the NBA All-Star game. It's like it's a glorified Bud Light Daredevils show. What do you want? I mean, if you went into the NBA All-Star game, and they started playing defense and they were, you know, doing post-up moves and kicking the ball out to, you know, corner threes. That's not what the game is. The game is supposed to be bounce it off the floor, throw it off the backboard, you know, take logo, back-to-back logo shots there at the end of the first half. I mean, half court, forget logo. I mean, that's what the game is supposed to be. You?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty exciting, especially when you saw Zion miss a couple of dunks early on.
Mm-hmm.
Steph killing some, hitting some threes. Just LeBron with the dunk that he had early in the game. I've seen a few All-Star games, but for whatever reason, I don't know if it was because, you know, we've been in quarantine and, you know, COVID restrictions, all that, whatever. Uh-huh. It seemed like it was pretty exciting to me.
Yeah, no, well, you know, and the whole thing, you know, I know it was squeezed in there with the dunk at halftime, but, you know, pushing it all kind of together in the same night, you know, kind of kept my interest a little bit, you know, starting with the skills competition and, you know, Luka doesn't even. I mean, I
shout
don't
out
really
to the big
understand.
Man. Shout out to what's his name? Sabonis. Demonis Sabonis, whatever.
Demonis Sabonis.
Am I saying his name right?
Yes, Sabonis.
Demontis Sabonis.
Yeah.
Won the skills competition, man. That was pretty big, cause, you know, for the big fella. The big fellas to get get the skills competition. It was like I said. I liked it. I liked the format.
Uh-huh.
It was fun to watch. They could have, like, the slam dunk contest, though. That I think that needs to probably stand alone. If that's my only criticism, the slam dunk contest, if you could do it again next year or later on this year, I should say, it should be, you know, at least push that to Saturday.
Oh, I'm sure. They're going to bring back. This is a one-off, you. I mean, next year they're going back to All-Star Saturday. You can bank on that. Way too much money to be made. You know, from having a two-night event as opposed to a one-night event. So, yeah, they'll be back on All-Star Saturday next year. Luka didn't even bother to show up. And so I sent out this tweet. People are like, you're just jealous. And it, like I was, you're mad about the Hawks trade of Luka to Trey and all this kind of stuff. And I just sent out, you know, anybody that bet on Luka, you know, I hope you took it in the shorts there. He first off, he does the event in sweats. Okay, that was my point. Secondly, he didn't try. And then he quits. You know, he just stops like halfway through and says, you know, I'm not even going to try this. I'm like, dude, you're either going to be in it to try to win it or don't be in it. I mean, don't make a joke out of it. I mean, it was like he treated it like, nobody cares. I don't care. You know, and I just thought that was a really bad look for him. I think you got to be in it to win it, Hugh. I mean, you don't just wear your sweats and not even try. But whatever, because, I mean, compare that, for example, to the battle that, because what was the best thing of the night? The best thing of the night, the best moment of the night was, you know, Mike Conley in his last two racks or last three racks suddenly going pistol hot in the last round of the three-pointer and forcing Steph Curry to go all the way through and forcing Steph Curry to make a money ball at the buzzer to beat him, right? That was kind of fun.
I think you're comparing two different things, though, John, to be totally honest. I hear what you're saying about Luka. But I think you're comparing two different things because Steph Curry, to me, it's almost the same as LeBron James being in a slam dunk contest and losing. Like, if Steph Curry loses that three-point contest, that's the story. You know, that's the bigger story, that Steph Curry actually lost. And there might be somebody else out there that's killing threes better than Steph. Like, the work that Steph put in, you know, shooting a three, and you talk about the 150 straight shots that he made or whatever it was that they said he made and things like that, Steph takes that event very serious. You're talking about two different players at two different, points in their career. Luka, like, I'm not mad at Luka for not taking it that serious because most of the guys that did the skills competition – they really didn't take it as serious. You heard Chris Paul talk about how, man, it's not that big a deal. He said he 0 for 5 in the skills competitions. Luka probably felt the same way, but that three-point thing for Steph, that's a big deal because he's a super competitive dude. So, I mean, I just think it's just two different – I think they're just two different players that are in two different points in their career.
Yeah, no, and just my point stands. If you bet on somebody who doesn't take it seriously, doesn't care, and he loses.
But why are you
like
betting
that
on him in the first place? Well, why are you betting on him? You know, I mean, that's the, that. I look at it favorite. Like that's That's on you. If you decide to bet on Luka Doncic and you lose money because he didn't take it serious, you can't be mad at him for that.
Yeah, well, there you go. Again, makes my point. All right, that was my tweet. And people were like, oh, and then people got over, oh, where's Trey? You know, Trey's out there tweeting, you know, when Simmons and, you know, and Embiid are not coming, the Trey's like, no, sir. Did you see the Trey tweet? Nope. No, basically, don't call me. I'm not coming. I mean,
did they call him though?
No, they couldn't. I guess there were protocols.
No, because I Abe tweeted out. We were talking back and forth, and they was like, I don't think he could clear protocol.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, you know, you do sound like you're a little bit of feelings, but I'm not gonna stress that.
Yeah, we don't want any Hawks in Atlanta during the All-Star game here. We wouldn't want
Dominique was there.
Yeah, Josh Smith and Spud were there too, and yeah, and Josh got raked over the coals for his, you know, judging. But okay, whatever. A lot going on besides just reaction to the NBA All-Star game tonight. Big night. Good luck to the Georgia State Panthers tonight as they play in the championship game of the Sun Belt Tournament. Georgia State is in. If they beat Appalachian tonight, they're favored to win. And so if Georgia State wins tonight, that game is at 7 on ESPN2. So Georgia State wins tonight. They are in the NCAA tournament. And here we would actually have two teams, well, at least two. I mean, notwithstanding an incredible
talking about Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech's in. That went over Wake Forest, cemented it. So Georgia Tech's going to be in the NCAA tournament. Georgia State gets into the NCAA tournament if they win tonight. And, again, they're favored to win. And Georgia starts the SEC tournament in Nashville Thursday against Missouri. That's a real hard opening game because Missouri's really good. Tech will play in the ACC tournament in Greensboro also on Thursday. But tonight is Georgia State's night. So hopefully Georgia State gets in. We'd have two teams in from the area. So that'd be kind of cool to have two teams in the field. And Selection Sunday is next Sunday, Hugh.
Yeah, that's hard to believe. And shout out this weekend because Joni Taylor, coach of the Georgia Bulldogs women basketball team, mm-hmm. and Coach Staley from South Carolina went at it this weekend. That was a pretty good game.
Yeah.
So shout out to both of them. They made history this weekend, two African-American female coaches doing their thing and coaching for the SEC championship. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, got a lot going on in college basketball, a lot going on in the NBA because the Hawks' second half will start on Thursday. So kind of all this build up. And then, Hugh, one of the other big stories we're going to be watching this week will be 1 week from today, free agency begins. Legal tampering begins, but free agency really begins in the NFL. And we'll see. I mean, there's still a ton of chatter out there. Let's see what happens in terms of players who get cut. They're saying that, you know, like the Falcons. The Falcons are going to have to cut a number of players this week or make a lot of room or rework. I mean, they got to make up $20 million under the cap here in a week. So it's going to be a busy week over in Flowery Branch.
Do you feel like it's going to be a surprise that some of the folks that get cut?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll be surprised. I think there may be a quarterback or even two that get cut. You go, whoa. Okay.
No, I'm talking about I'm not talking about NFL wide. I'm talking about for the Falcons.
Yeah, a surprise. You know,
like, is it going to be?
I don't think so necessarily.
I tell you what, as a player, I would be a little uncomfortable, especially if I was one of those cats that's making a whole lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a surprise out there. You know,
they've been quiet. The Falcons have been eerily quiet, mm-hmm. as far as that's concerned.
Right. Well, they Rico and, you know, now you got Keanu out there, but he's a free agent. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting. There could be some guys who could be a little unsettled. Because here's the thing. The brand new coaching staff, we don't know what they want to do. We don't know they're the ones making those calls. Hey, you don't fit, you don't fit. And we got to create room and a story. Morning Mashup next on this Monday, reacting to the All-Star game with John and Hugh and much more on ahead of a very busy week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's 6:20 Atlanta. Time for the Morning Mashup.
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy. Get up. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning Mashup on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John and Hugh on the morning show on this Monday, March 8th. Oren Romain holding down the fort. Mothership downtown. What up, Oren? How you doing, bub?
Good morning, guys. How we
good
doing?
Good morning. Today? Good morning.
Grand Rising, Hugh Douglas.
Grand Rising, Oren. Grand Rising.
I got a chance to see Coming to America, too. Just made saying Grand Rising. I think everybody on this show has watched it. John, did you watch it this weekend, John?
Yep.
Okay.
Hmm?
Are we going to talk about this another time? I guess I'll
get it. No, we can talk about it now. I mean,
the way he said it was like, yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't have expected more. I mean, it wasn't. There were a couple of laughs. And, you know, I mean, a great cast. And it's not a, you know, but it's for the most part, it's pretty fairly bland. I mean, the story.
It was okay. I told people, they got mad at me. I said, it was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. It was okay. Yeah. It had its moments.
I would say it was okay.
Teyana Taylor, fine too. I hate to be looking at somebody else's wife.
Whatever
boy,
you
good,
like.
Good googly, good moogly.
Whatever movies you like.
Yeah, she.
I will wait here.
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah, it was. It was okay. It was okay.
It was okay.
All right. That's the John Frickie's review. It was okay.
What did you think, Oren?
I saw a very good tweet. And I kind of approached it from this standpoint where if you think of this one as sort of a parody of the first one, then in that regard, yeah, I saw
what you're saying because that's kind of how I felt. I felt like some of the stuff, like the other one was subtly funny, but this one, they kind of went over the top, but I kind of see why, because like watching the first one, the way that they objectified women in the first one, because we talked about this and talked about how I was like, wow, I didn't know it was that bad. You know, nowadays when you look at it,
you're like, oh god,
it was like, oh my gosh,
she's your queen.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Problematic song.
Yeah. Yeah, so they kind of made a parody of it, so I get it. So yeah, I guess if you look at it in that light, yeah, it wasn't bad.
All right I want to tell you about my weekend, guys, and we're going to share the other part of my weekend here later on in the show, but this weekend, for my job, this is the funny part. I wasn't asked. I was told, hey, you're going to go to Griffin and you're going to be the city representative for a basketball tournament. All right, cool. So drove to Griffin, drove there, came back Saturday after the games were over with, back to the rec center. And my intentions there, I was going to drop off some receipts and drop off some jerseys. Say, hey, they had Chipotle, so I was going to make myself a quick bowl, and then roll out. I walked in the back of our rec center where the gym is, say a couple hellos, and then all of a sudden, the administrator looks at me. She goes, hey, you need to go in the gym. There's a fight in there right now. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go in there and break this up?
You're 9 feet tall, I guess.
No, hey, get the big black guy to do it.
So I'm thinking, oh Lord, like if somebody's in there fighting one of our staff, let me go in there and I can go in there and, you know, try to work some stuff. But no, like, hey, you need to go in there and there's a fight going on. All right, I guess I'll walk in here and try to be intimidating. And as I'm walking in, I see two mothers walking out. Calling everybody everything but children of God.
Oh,
they are yelling at fans, they are yelling at coaches, they are yelling at 8-year-olds on the other team.
Oh.
Just everything. And I don't know, maybe they were the ones that were fighting. So then I see a crowd on the other side of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a referee and the rec center director and the guy that works with us who was in charge of the tournament. And they all had their hands on their hips, just like I could tell something. Like they weren't happy. So go to find out. This is an 8-year-old basketball game. It's a state tournament, so it has some cachet, but an 8-year-old, 8 and under basketball game. Two moms were not happy with the way the referee was officiating the game.
Mm-hmm.
So these two moms decided during a dead ball, they were going to run on the court and snatch the basketball out of the referee's hands.
And do what?
I have no idea what their plan was after that. But they went and snapped. This part I didn't see. I had to take the second hand. But they went on the court, snatched the ball out the referee's hands, and the referee took that personally, like Jordan. And I took that personally. So he tried to get the ball back. Some pushing and some shoving. Next thing you know, I hear they are punching the ref in the back of the head.
No.
And yeah. This is an 8 and under basketball tournament. 8-year-olds. 8-year-olds who are on the sideline right now watching somebody's mama out there buck wild hitting refs in the back of the head. So, yeah, these two ladies get escorted out.
Oh, somebody going to jail. Somebody about to get some charges pressed against them.
The ref decided he wasn't going to press charges. Here's the kicker. Three people called the cops. My rec center director, the administrator, and the lady that got in a fight because she wanted to press charges on the ref because the ref shoved her back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well.
So the cops came. They talked to the lady and like, yeah, no, you started this, ma'am. Like, he probably just was trying to get you off of him. So ref didn't press charges. They ended up leaving. We had to kick everybody out the gym, which parents really love, by the way. All these parents driving from God knows where, we're telling them, like, hey, by the way, the last 5 minutes of this basketball game, y'all can't watch it. So, yeah, y'all got to wait outside the door. Cleared everybody out, and that was about it. Yeah, parents. And I got dudes looking at me talking about they want refunds, and I'm like, hey, I'm not the one to ask about that, but I know you need to keep walking out. That was one of those times where I did get kind of big and sort of like, hey, you know what? Hey, get out the gym. Go ahead and leave. Go ahead
and
leave.
So you asserted your authority at that moment.
I asserted the limited amount of authority I had, Hugh Douglas, to instruct people to leave the gym. I did that.
Yeah, it sounded like you had a great weekend, though.
I mean, that's the big story, right?
Yeah, and I got my chips and guac. After this all went down, I made sure, hey, do you guys need me for – do you need my intimidation and size factor?
Yeah, I was about to ask you, well, how did that make you feel from going from, like you know, rec center worker to enforcer in, like, just that fast?
Funny. They were so happy to see me. Like, Oren threw his back down like he was about to go and do something. The hell I was about to go do something in there. I just walked in to see what the hell was going on. Like, I was curious like everybody else was. I wouldn't go in there like, hey, if something happens and fists get thrown at me, I'll defend myself. But I'm not willingly jumping into a fray when I don't know what's going on.
That is pretty funny,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to get my damn face scratched up or punched because some lady didn't like a foul call or referee in an 8-and-under basketball game did. Nah, she's going to have to – we're going to score her out the building. But, like, I'm not jumping in that mess. Oh, Oren walked in. Like, oh, Oren came here at the perfect time. Yeah, he came here at the perfect time when the
Oren's
fight was
gonna
happening.
Save us. Oren's going to save us all.
Yeah, those, you know, you've been around them, Hugh. I've been around them. You know, parents who get into the action a little bit too much when we're talking about, you know, defending their
living
kids.
Living vicariously through their children, man. I mean, because a lot of people, I mean, but you know what, though, John? I get it because there's a lot of parents that invest a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And their children's activities, extracurricular activities.
Yes, they do.
And when they feel like their kid is getting slighted, I mean, I get it. I didn't get it before. I've never been that parent. I got to say that. I ain't never jumped on no ref or nothing or was yelling and screaming. But I've seen parents that do. And, like, man, when you drive into all these AAU games and, you know, you're taking out time during your busy day to do all of that, you are emotionally invested in all of that. So I get it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and the coaches, you know, why is my kid not playing? Why is my kid not
playing? Yeah, and I drove all the way down here from Timbuktu. Yeah, I get it. I definitely get it.
And, you know, and the quality of refereeing is going to be the quality of refereeing. You just have to kind of deal with it. I mean, you know, I coached a bunch of kids' teams, and the refs were really bad. And I told you know, people, look, they don't know that. It's just, like, you're asking for people who are basically volunteering who don't know much about basketball to put on a, you know, grab a whistle and try and fake it. You know, okay, all right, fine. You know, give them a lot of latitude. But no, they're going to fight. Well, at least you know, because over the weekend we had what there was the one fight at the Bed Bath & Beyond that went viral. I saw that.
That was a swing fest. Like, yeah. they were swinging for the fences.
Yeah. The Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever it was, and then there was another one at Cumberland Mall that they were swinging on each other. It was like, okay,
go to the mall at your own risk. Nowadays,
right? You go to the store at your own risk. The Braves get ready for the continuation of spring. It's like, can we just start the season? Because I think the Braves are ready to go. But no, you can't. We got to wait 3 more weeks before we get this going. Nonetheless, there's some good news on the Braves front. And it's about the pitching, which, you know, looks pretty darn good right now. That and more ahead with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. We're here with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. It is a Monday. Sounds like it's going to be a fine. We thought a little chilly this morning, Hugh. I stepped outside here, you know, just to take care of something before I get the show. And I was like, I don't know what I was prepared for it to be quite this cool. It was cold out. I don't know if you went outside. You haven't probably been outside yet, have you?
No, I opened the door, though, because I wake up in the morning, you know, you know, get a little fresh air. But, yeah, it feels a little chilly. Yeah, I'm with you.
But it's going to be a beautiful week. And again, like we said, there are going to be a lot of big headlines this week. A lot of focus will be on the tournament because Georgia State plays tonight. And a lot of focus on the and hopefully the Panthers win and they'll be in the NCAA tournament. And then, of course, a lot of focus on the NFL because of all the cuts that could come. I said, you know, what was the words we used? Massacre, I think, was one. Seismic shift.
That was a popular word.
So we'll see, and we're all kind of waiting because all these teams have to get under the cap because a week from today is when free agency begins. I mean, technically they'll tell you it's the 17th. It's not. It's the 15th. We all know this. We'll see what happens this week in terms of cuts across the NFL. Meanwhile, the Braves are down in spring training, and they're getting ready. 3 weeks from now, they're going to be playing the Phillies, and they'll start the regular season in Philadelphia, and the Braves look like they're kind of sort of ready to go. The Braves got three strong out of Charlie Morton in his debut yesterday, hit 96 on the gun. You know, that's not bad. I mean, the Braves have gone into this well before where they've gone and gotten, you know, veteran starters at the end of their careers. It would have been really interesting had there been no COVID, Hugh, what Felix Hernandez could have given you last year, right?
Yeah, and now he's gone. Went somewhere else and got $1 million.
And, you know, and of course you didn't so much work out with Cole Hamels. Would you get 3 innings out of him, something like that, because of the injury?
That was unfortunate. All of those are unfortunate signings.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, listen.
It is what it is.
Yeah, and they still got to within a few outs of making the World Series. Charlie Morton, who began his career in Atlanta back in the day, probably, gosh, 13, 14 years ago, is back with the Braves. He's in his mid to late 30s. I think it's probably 36, 37, 38, somewhere in there. He was an okay pitcher, and for whatever reason, he goes to the Astros about 5 years ago, and it really clicked for him. And he ends up, you know, I mean, having phenomenal success in Houston. I mean, on the order of, without pulling his stats up, I think 1 year he was like 15-3 or something like that. Then he goes to Tampa, and he has phenomenal success. And over the last 4 years, he's been one of the top 15 pitchers, if not top 10 pitchers, in all of Major League Baseball. And they get him, and he goes out in his first three innings, no big deal. So, I mean, to have Charlie Morton, if Charlie Morton is the Charlie Morton just for this year, we don't necessarily need him for next year or beyond, you know, but if he for this year can be that kind of guy, Hugh, that makes this rotation dangerous.
And that's all I've been saying, John. Like that's how when I look at this squad, that's what I see. I know there's some question marks about other people on this team, but for me, when I think of what the Braves were last year, and I'm thinking that pitching is the one thing that really kept them home for the World Series. That's what I'm thinking. So, yeah, if you can get some good pitching, then I think that they have a bona fide shot to get to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, you had those incredible performances, especially in the playoffs, A.J. Minter and Bryce Wilson, and guys just stepping up with mind-blowing performances as great as they were. I mean, stuff that was like, you know, Randy Johnson-worthy kind of performances. So there's a lot of good news on the Braves pitching front at the moment. Good news that Charlie Morton looks like he's still got his game. I mean, if he's hitting 96 on the gun and going out there and breezing through 3 innings in his first appearance, okay, that's good news. Kyle Wright had a three-inning performance that was rock solid, too. And we saw how Kyle Wright matured last year, Hugh. And Kyle Wright is going to be in this five-man to start the season. And we need him to be, you know, that guy who was that first-round pick that he was, you know, a number of years ago. You know, like I say, you know, with Charlie Morton, it took a number of years before it clicked for him. And just that's the way it is with some pitchers. And maybe it's just now clicking for Kyle Wright.
Yeah. And hopefully that is the case, John, because like I can't stress enough. Like pitching was the one thing that I felt like we were missing. And to have that. And then not only that, you talk about the competitiveness that all of those guys have. Because, like, really, when you look at it, you're looking at it like if you want to be considered an ace, you got to be competitive. And I think that last year they started showing signs of, you know, with Soroka and all those young guys together that of being competitive against one another. So I think that's a big thing, too, to see who is the number one pitcher on this Braves roster.
Oscar Anoa had another solid outing, and, you know, they keep talking about how wicked his stuff is. And Oscar Anoa is going to have a place coming out of camp, I would think. I would hope that he's going to have a place. He's not going to be in the rotation, per se. But, you know, long relief, I guess, is where it's at. And then you have Will Smith, who's going to be asked to be the closer, who is looking like he is a closer so far. So all is good. And the news gets even better because Dave O'Brien noted over the weekend that Mike Soroka pitched in a simulated game, threw two innings, and looked, according to O'Brien, looked very, very good. So I'm not anticipating Mike Soroka being available for opening day. But I'm not also going to say that it's out of the question. I mean, if he looked very, very good, Hugh, we still have 3 weeks left of spring training. I mean, you could, in the final week of spring training, he could, you know, go out and give you three or four innings maybe.
He probably could, but I wouldn't rush him. I mean, there's no need to rush him. I mean, it would be nice to see him a little bit, but I don't think there's no need to rush him because you're looking, you know, when you look at him, you want him to be 100% so that there are no breakdowns. You know, there's no need when you talk about the pitching that you already have on this staff, there's no need to rush him back.
No, I totally agree. I mean, because right now at the moment, just at the moment, your five-man staff, without Mike Soroka, your five-man rotation would be Max Fried in some order beyond Max. Max is your number one, obviously. Max Fried, Ian Anderson, Charlie Morton, Drew Smyly, Kyle Wright. That's pretty darn good. Now, you put Mike Soroka into that with the sixth man. Who do you bump? I don't know who you bump. It's not automatic you bump Smyly. I mean, he may be pitching really well. And then you have Oscar Anoa and Bryce Wilson, and Sean Newcomb had a nice moment over the weekend, and you still have Tuki Desant. So you have a lot of depth there. I agree with you, Hugh. I mean, they could start him down at AAA, I would assume they'd do AAA for no other reason than just because of the proximity of Gwinnett. And AAA didn't even start till, I think, May 1st. So basically you can put him with what is extended spring training. In April.
Yeah, I don't, like I said, John, I don't feel like there's a need to rush him back. I mean, it's good to know that he's doing well and he's probably ahead of schedule in most people's eyes, but there's no need to rush him back.
And so it'll be really interesting. Again, the Braves do have, Rick Kranitz has got himself a rotation with, if Charlie Morton does deliver this year and gives you that kind of a season. We all understand that when it comes to rotations, there are two or three out there that are, you know, the Padres are loaded with pitching. Obviously now with Trevor Bauer, did you see the story about how Trevor Bauer is out there? He went out and pitched in a game and he intentionally closed one of his eyes.
Yeah, talking about to challenge himself. Yeah, I saw that.
Himself.
You know okay. What? That to me screamed a little bit of a Richard, you know, because, I mean, I just was like, wow, you're doing too much. But, I mean, hey. He put it out there and it became a big deal. I mean, if he did it, you know, kudos to him. Sometimes I just challenge myself and I close one eye to see if I can still do my job.
Whatever. It's like, of course he did because he's Trevor Bauer.
Everybody was like, wow, did you hear that? He's so cool. Yeah. Like somewhere in his mind, somebody was like, wow, that was just so cool of you to do that. That was just so cool.
And I get from, you know, the name values and all that, when you're talking about the Clayton Kershaws and the Walker Buehlers and Trevor Bauers, that the Dodgers' rotation is insanely good. I get it, okay? Insanely good. But, again, you start to compare it, and, you know, the Braves are kind of low-key that way. If Mike Soroka comes back 100%, you're talking Mike Soroka, Cy Young candidate, Max Fried, Cy Young candidate, Charlie Morton, who's been a Cy Young candidate, Ian Anderson, one of the best young pitchers in the game. Kyle Wright, who may be elevating himself to that kind of a role. I mean,
yeah, that's the point. You know, you got a lot of guys. You got a lot of guys on this roster that are going to be vying for that, you know, to be the man.
Right.
You know, everybody wants to be the man. So, yeah, you got a lot of guys that are going to be trying to be that, aspire to be the ace of this staff.
Right. And there have been times in the past, few years here when things were a little light where guys like Oscar Anoa and Bryce Wilson and Sean Newcomb would have been your rotation. I mean, that just would have been what you were throwing out there. And not that they aren't worthy. By the way, it's not that they're not worthy of it. They are. It's just the competition level right now on the Braves staff is extremely strong. So that's good news. Also good news is that I think they've pretty much, I think you heard over the weekend, Brian Snicker was kind of talking about how he's pretty much, the lineup is the lineup. You see it what it is, and now it's just a matter of getting to the opening game. Christian Pache is hitting. He's showing opposite power, hitting. He's had a couple of big hits going the other way, a couple of triples going the other way. Almost had that grand slam in the opening game going the other way, or that quasi would have been grand slam thingy against Boston. So, no, I mean, I think the Braves are ready, and it's just a matter of now you have to play out the spring and wait for the season to begin.
Wait to go up to Philly. Get ready for the for the Phillies.
So we got 3 weeks left, and now it's just the only thing really remaining for the Atlanta Braves is A, stay healthy, B, extend your starters out, and C, solidify a couple of things like your bench. The Braves have a lot of options on their bench, and so they'll have to solidify their bench. I like what I've seen from some of the young guys that are coming up through, or not young guys, but new guys. Let me rephrase that. They're not young. I mean, Lamb looks like he's going to be a really good guy for you on the bench. Kipnis looks like he's going to be whatever is advertised. And so you've got Camargo. I think this bench is going to be far improved over what it was last year. And the bench last year was okay. Now you've got, you know, guys are coming off that, you know, Jake Lamb was an all-star. I mean, so now you got some pop coming off that bench. And so the Braves are in a good spot. And I'm just anxious for the season to begin. Really, there's nothing much left to – there's a tweak here and there, Hugh, but I got 3 weeks of kind of twiddling our thumbs before it gets real.
Yeah, and I think everybody's excited to see how, you know, full slate of games this year, how the Braves are going to fare. Because, you know, a lot of people feel like they benefited tremendously from the fact that, you know, we didn't play that many. They played an abbreviated schedule. So let's just see how they fare this year with a full schedule.
Yeah, with a full schedule and starting April 1st, opening day for all of Major League Baseball. Also, of course, the NBA. That'll be another story this week as the Hawks get into the second half of the season. They begin Thursday with the final 36 games. It is a daunting task for the Atlanta Hawks. And we'll touch a little bit on that as we also recap the Atlanta show of the All-Star Game and more. Top of the hour on this Monday post Sunday night's All-Star Game with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.